I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
And on Wednesdays,
we wear pink.
Let me ask you, what was high school like for you? Did you have nice lockers like this?
Well, I was homeschooled.
Yeah? You were homeschooled. How interesting. What is...
You're acting like you don't know that about
homeschooled.
Me.
Homeschooled? Wow. But you're, like, really pretty.
Yeah. I mean...
So you agree. You think you're really pretty. Let's get the show started.
What? That's not how we start the show.
What was high school like for you?
I told you I was
homeschooled. I know you're homeschooled, but like, so is there like...
Being homeschooled in California was a lot cooler than being homeschooled in Texas.
Oh, yeah?
There was a lot more to do out here. And then when we went to Texas, I remember one time we were all sitting in a group and me, my mom, and my sister all looked at each other and were just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's like how I feel. Like whenever people are like, when are you going back to Texas? I'm kind of like... Like a part of it would be nice to be closer to family and it's cheaper, obviously. Yeah. But I'm also like... What would I do? Like, there would be nothing, and not that there's nothing to do in Texas, but there's just so much more out here.
There's so much.
So much, and there's so many more people.
I will say they have a vegan restaurant in Texas now.
A vegan restaurant? Singular vegan restaurant?
Yeah. Wow. Apparently it's been around for like over 10 years.
That's a lie.
And I was just like, where were you?
Where were you when everything was falling apart?
Gross.
Anyways.
Gross.
Gross. Well, high school for me, I was normal people schooled. In a public school.
I resent that. I resent or resemble that remark.
You resent and resemble it.
I both.
But yeah, normal high school experience for me. Just the normal like Disney high school experience. Whereas like I wasn't...
Shut up.
I wasn't super popular, but I also wasn't like a total loser. And I had my two best friends that we just kind of got into all kind of stuff.
So for me, I remember when I would look at TV shows that would present how high school was. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking to myself, I'm better than that. And I feel like that's why I connected to the film that we're going to be talking about, is I had this thought of like, man, I'd be the outsider coming in and I'd shake up the system as well.
I would just destroy everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so speaking of that, what is the movie that we're doing today?
What we're not doing this.
What are we talking about today?
Am I supposed to set it up in a really fancy way?
Well, you kind of like you set the ball and I'm just letting you spike it.
Okay. All right. Bump, set, spike.
Bump. So you bumped it. I'm setting it, and you got to spike it.
Now I'm supposed to spike it. Mean Girls.
Wait. Hold on.
Thank you, next bitch. Let's get out of here. Let's all right. Let's go along. Let's start the show.
Let's get going.
I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
And on Wednesdays,
we wear pink.
It just never gets old.
The two times that we've done it, it's just so exhilarating every time.
So exhilarating.
We're going to have to.
So today's episode, we are talking about
Mean Girls.
One of the ultimate classics of the 20th.
Ultimate 21st classics century. Of our generation.
Absolutely. It is our Citizen Kane.
It is. You talk a lot about Citizen Kane. Have you seen Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane is the Citizen Kane of Citizen Kane. It's literally what you use to reference old. Epic, meaningful, impactful films.
Mean Girls is our Wizard of Oz.
Ew, gross.
It is the instant classic that will forever stand the test of time.
I'm pretty sure.
And it will last.
Was Wizard of Oz an instant classic? I'd have to look into it, but I'm pretty sure.
I feel like it was. It was the first movie to be filmed in color.
People were just in theaters and they're just like, oh,
yeah.
Oh,
they like lost their minds. That like, yeah,
they literally lost their minds. Actually, that one of the first films that they ever showed, they had filmed a train arriving at a station, and it was so realistic for people.
Oh, that they like lost their minds.
They literally like jumped back, thinking that it was coming at them.
Yeah, I feel like I heard that story.
Well, that's one of those things.
People are just kind of like, oh, like people didn't understand how to like process.
They don't know how to. I love how old people process things. Not old people now. I meant like
old time people.
Old timey people.
Yeah. Like if you were to show them like Transformers, they would probably have a heart attack and die.
As previously mentioned, we are talking about Mean Girls. Mean Girls. Citizen Kane. It arrived in theaters of April 30th of 2004.
2004, which means I was 11 going on 12.
I can't remember exactly. I probably would have been like 12 or 13. It was released in theaters on April 30th, but it really didn't resonate.
Yeah.
Or mean anything to me until it was released on DVD in September.
Yeah.
It was released September 21st, 2004. The film was directed by Mark Waters, who had previously directed Lindsay Lohan in Freaky Friday.
Written by Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
Everyone's favorite.
Who at the time was only known for SNL, although she had been she was the first head female writer on SNL at the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And it was based on a nonfiction self-help book called Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Wiseman.
Yeah, correct. That's the correct way of pronouncing it.
I figure.
Do you want to tell us who starred in the film? Because I'm pretty sure you don't need these notes like I have.
I don't need notes. Who starred in the film was Lindsay Lohan, yes. Rachel McAdams, yep. Lacey Chabert.
Yes.
And Amanda Seyfried. I don't know why I almost said Idina Menzel.
And Adele Gazeera.
And Aaron Samuels. That's the cast.
Oh, you wait. I'm sorry. What was his real name?
Aaron Samuels.
Yeah. He has a real name.
Yeah, Aaron.
His name's Jonathan Bennett, which I didn't know.
Yeah. Also, Lizzie Kaplan as one of the...
Yeah, you always forget her.
Yeah.
Every time we have talked about this
film.
For some
reason, I don't forget her. Like, I know Janice, obviously. She's a huge character, but she just doesn't – her name doesn't pop into my head.
Exactly.
As lead character.
Which is unfortunate because she's actually had a really solid career
she
after
has.
This
she's
film.
She's done great.
It also starred Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Tim Meadows, who, you know, is it Coach Carr?
Coach Carr.
Coach Carr.
Is it the coach? No, you mean Mr. Duvall.
Ooh, I made it.
Principal.
Oof. Principal.
I was Duvall. Like, why are we naming the coach? He had like three lines of the entire thing.
Hey, he was an integral part.
He was integral part of touching children.
Oh, God. Which, by the way, can we talk about how nobody really addressed that in the
yeah,
film?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They're
we'll
like,
get
Coach
there.
Carr is making out with Trey Peck. And it's just like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah,
so
other news.
So sentient in. Right, moving on. But that'll be.
I'm sorry.
We'll get into that with the actual.
We will get into that. And, I actually never looked up how to pronounce this. Daniel Frenzy. I feel really bad. I actually meant to look that up before we started this.
Daniel, you know who you are. We're talking about you.
Dan, you know who you are. He was Damien, of course.
Damien, okay.
Who is not too gay to function. That's only cool when Janice says it.
Only Janice can say that.
Only Janice can say it. So then I guess what remains to be asked is, Benjamin Jones, do you remember where you were when this film hit?
I absolutely do not remember where I was. So this is, for me, Mean Girls, as far as I can remember, was just kind of always around. Obviously not since I was a kid, but it's one of those things where I can't remember the first time I saw it or where I heard about it and where like my friends were like, hey, go watch this. But I just remember being in middle school and it just being all me and my friends could talk about and just like just constant quotes and everything and watching the movie over and over again. And it was just obviously like a staple of being a kid at that time.
Right. Did you see it in theaters? Did you see it on DVD? Like
it had to have been obviously DVD because I don't think I would have been old enough to go see that in theaters. What was it?
It was PG-13.
I might have seen it in theaters. I didn't see it in theaters, but I could have.
I remember I was in a theater. We went to go see a film and I remember the first memory I have about Mean Girls. There was one of those life-size posters, and I looked at it, and I was a fan of Lindsay's from Parent Trap,
of course,
and from Freaky Friday, which I hadn't seen in theaters either. But you know, when it hit on DVD, it was like a huge film,
great movie.
So I see this life-size poster, and I see Lindsay Lohan, and I see that it's going to be rated PG-13, and I was just like, oh, whoa, it's going to be edgy. And I was like, I remember because that was the first time I was very aware that there was something called star power. Of like a film that could bring me in based on a star alone. Yeah. Like up until that point, I was very big on like the concept. Mm-hmm. You know, a year before that, it was Pirates of the Caribbean. I didn't want to see Pirates of the Caribbean because of Johnny Depp.
No.
Or Orlando Bloom. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew about Lord of the Rings, but it wasn't enough to be like, oh, I'm going to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, I didn't see films based on actors. I saw films based on...
Yeah. Yeah, as a kid, before you really are following actors, you're just going to see it, things that are like, oh, that's bright colors and there's a lot of movement.
Well, and there were bright colors and there was a girl that I had a huge attraction to, you know, who looked a lot like a girl that I had a crush on at the time.
Well, there you go. And that's all you need to go see a movie.
And that was, it was like, I saw that poster and just went, I must see. I whispered that to my
That's myself. Still how I decide how to see movies. I'm like, you're hot. I'm going to watch your movie.
So,
period.
At the time, like I said, I was homeschooled. Mm-hmm. I actually was part of a youth group. Now, this is in Texas. This isn't in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I'm in a youth group in Texas, and I was the youngest one in that group. And I got to join because something, homeschool, I graduated early or whatever the heck. I don't remember. For some reason, I think I like just was wanting to leave the group before, like the middle school group. And I was like, just get me the hell out of here and get me to like the real people, real mm-hmm. teenagers. But I was like, I instantly realized, almost like regretted it in a sense because I was the youngest one there and everyone else was like, they were in their groups together.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like, I mean, this is like school where like, you know, you pick up from where you left off, but this is continual. There is no like, there's not like a reset button of like, oh, okay, well, everyone was off. And even though we have our set groups, we can kind of have a moment to define. There is no moment to define in youth group. It's like when you get there, everyone else has been here longer than you have. So
yeah, so
ship up or shape out.
Yeah.
Shape up or ship out.
Shape up or ship out.
And that was kind of like, I was in this environment where I didn't have much to connect to with this group. I was the youngest. I started realizing early on if I could make them laugh, then I could, you know, I could feel loved.
Make them laugh. Make them laugh.
These are the type of things that you think about when you're you don't have anything else to think about because like you've got, you know, no students that you're with. It's just you, your sister, and your mom. So when I joined youth group, I was like, how can I, you know, become part of this group?
Mm-hmm.
And later on, I remember Mean Girls being that glue that kind of like brought me together. It was the first experience I remember having where it was like we were all in on it. It wasn't like I said, Pirates of the Caribbean, one of my favorite films of all time. But it's not like everyone was talking about that.
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite was the closest I remember to that kind of like group dynamic of everyone just like, oh my God, have you seen this? Like Tater Tots.
And then immediately you're like, oh, we're friends now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what film did. Mm-hmm. And that's what Napoleon Dynamite did to a certain degree. But Mean Girls was like universal.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like instantly a language that everyone learned how to speak. And then we used it to communicate with each other. Like, the pink Wednesdays. She doesn't even go here. Doesn't even go here. Do you even go here? That's how we were.
Fetch, irregardless. Actually, irregardless was something that I had to learn later wasn't a word.
Oh, it's did not. You? I totally knew that.
I was about to say.
No, I did not.
It's like,
I totally
did
knew.
You know that? Took a few years.
But yeah, so I saw the poster.
Mm-hmm.
I was enamored with Lindsay Lohan, and I knew I had to see it. And then it was literally, like I said, it just was blank until it was released on DVD. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, like I said, became the language everyone talked, used to communicate with each other. And I think it did it on a successful level because unlike Napoleon Dynamite, which was a very niche film, which was like only a specific type of people liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Mean Girls seemingly just like connected with everybody.
It really did because everybody – well, not everybody went to high school, but everybody had to deal
with friends. I still felt like I connected with it.
Exactly. But everybody has to deal with like friendships and relationships and that kind of stuff. So it's just one of those things that's always wildly universal.
And the crazy thing is I remember it made me so aware of itself that I remember asking the girl that I had a huge crush on, the one who looked like Lindsay Lohan. I remember asking her, like, I don't know if it was a year later. I was just like, hey, am I popular?
Did you ask?
Yes, I did.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know
adorable.
Else to figure out because I was homeschooled and like I was part of this youth group and I felt popular
and you were
to
like
a degree.
Freak and you knew how to spell Xylocarp. And you thought on the third day that God
the third day?
The third day. That's what I said.
No, you okay. Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, okay. Just move on.
All right. Gosh. So, what were your initial thoughts about the film when it first came out or when you first became cognizant of it?
I thought it was hilarious. Like, super funny, super relatable. Like, obviously, like, you love all the characters, and as much as you, like, hate Regina George, you really love her. It's, like, literally, like Lindsay Lohan, like Caddy says in it, it's, like, no matter how much you hate her, you still, like, a piece of you wants her to like you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I agree. Continue.
That's basically everything I had to say on that.
Well, for me, the what I wrote down, I guess it felt like the perfect encapsulation of like 2000s.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Because it came right on the precipice of like of social networking becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it just feels like lightning in a bottle. It feels like that was just
that perfect little snapshot of that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's even crazier, something I never really thought about until we were doing some research on this, that was peak Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, absolutely.
But like
unfortunately.
It's the type of film that had she had died right after.
Oh my god.
We would have been talking about like, oh my god. Like she never lived up to her full potential.
Oh, yeah, for
there were
sure.
so many more good movies. Mm-hmm. You know, like what we say about James Dean or Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, we did see what happened to her after, because she didn't die.
Because it did she didn't die, but she went through some rough stuff.
Social suicide.
She went through social suicide. We love her, but also We
need to
get her
the hell out
of
here.
That's just kidding. She needs to come back. I miss her.
I think she's recovering.
She's like blonde now and doing other things. We'll see her in a minute.
I mean, like when you think about it, like I remember at the time thinking, what's wrong? What's going on? Why didn't you? Why did you let this all down?
Mm-hmm.
hey, being a child actor, that's not a real world.
Yeah. And also, I was like, and also she had like crap going on in her life. Like it wasn't even just child actor.
Leave
and
Brittany alone.
Oh my gosh. Brittany. Woo. Brittany turned it around. She came back hard.
She
did so good. I'm so proud of her. Good job, girl.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's a good setup for
the actual movie. Film. Yay.
You think it's time to start talking about the movie?
Let's start talking about the movie.
Do you want to start it off?
I think I appreciate that it opens up really strong as far as like I do not like movies that take a really long time with credits.
You do not.
I don't. Like, as soon as it passes about the 5-second mark, I start getting annoyed. And then when it goes to 10, I fast forward. And it doesn't matter if it's a 2-second difference or, like, another 3 minutes. Like, I'm, like, glad that I fast forwarded. Because I'm like, I don't have time for this.
Ain't nobody got.
So I was watching a little while ago Mean Girls, and I just like realized, I was like, they literally put like two names on and then they start the movie.
Right.
I'm like, you guys are amazing.
And then they start the movie. The inciting incident happens like in the first frame.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, literally just like, all right, you're going to school.
So quick. Yeah. They're just like immediately. And she's like, it cuts to immediately the first like super quotable moment for me and my friends, at least, was the
X-Y-L-O-C-A-R-P, Xylocarp.
Yep, exactly. And then on the third day, God created the rimitimble action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs.
And the homosexuals.
Amen.
Yeah, well, that was really memorable to me. I remember laughing at it.
Yeah.
But also being like, we're not like that.
Of course. But yeah, I was like,
because I was homeschooled.
Yeah, I was like, you were homeschooled.
Because when she first mentions it, I'm like, oh. And then they do that. I'm like, oh.
You like stood up for a second. You're like, hey, man. Wait, no, let me sit down.
I know. It's crazy. It's funny, too, like that you mentioned. I remember when I was watching it, that whole moment with the father and the mother talking off screen.
Yeah.
Since I was homeschooled, I didn't understand the whole like first day of school
dynamic. Like the talk up. Yeah.
So I just literally rewatching it was like, oh, that was a gag.
Oh, that's
they're
funny.
Building it up. Yeah. Like you don't know the film. It might start off with young.
Yeah,
you
think that it's gonna be a little baby girl going to.
Nope. That's a grown ass woman.
That's so funny.
And I didn't get that joke until just now. I was like, oh man. So what happens when you're homeschooled?
Well, you know, homeschool kids are freaks.
So goes the movie. I remember immediately being impressed with the kind of the African subtext, like the – what is – not the subtext. The
culture?
The framing device.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Just the
– like the references.
I immediately was like, oh, this is a little bit different. This is not
true.
Just your typical like high school
comedy.
There was like a – I like when films really – come up with a new and unique way of looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
And this very much did that. It was not just like, oh, we can just do the normal A, B, camera A shots, camera B shots, normal story points. They have like, it's actually a relatively simple story.
It's incredibly simple. When I was watching it again, I was just like, ah, this is really straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah.
She just does her thing and then the movie's over.
is that your podcast review? You're just like, Mean Girls, like, she did her thing.
It was over. It's good.
End podcast.
I enjoyed it. Bye.
Yeah. Well, pretty much it's just how they show that thing that she does. And it's very unique. And like the whole juxtaposition of like the wildlife in Africa versus the wildlife of the high school.
I love that. Like when she's comparing like the freaking teens at the mall to animals in heat. I was like, absolutely. That is all teens in a mall are, is animals in heat.
So we get her to school.
We get her to school. And then we get the first joke that I think you mentioned that you didn't get. Was when we were like, when Mr. Duval is like, oh, we have a new kid here from Africa. And she goes, welcome to the black girl.
I totally, for some reason, the way I read that joke was that she said it to Caddy.
Yeah.
And then the black girl just kind of interjected like, I'm from Michigan.
Why did you
I don't know. I don't know. But upon rewatching, I went, Miss Norbury straight up thought, which made me, okay, by the way, all right. It's just so Miss Norbury, she's clearly been teaching this class for a while. Is this the first day of school? Is this
it could possibly not be.
So did she straight up forget the one black girl in her class?
The only one.
And she was just like, oh shit, that's where you're from?
Oh my gosh.
And the girl's like, bitch, I've been here.
Like, I've been here for the last 3 weeks.
I am not. This is not my first day of school. Like, so that was like my question. It's like either that was the first day of school, and which means that Mr. Duval didn't introduce the Michigan girl.
Well,
so he only introduced Caddy on the first day of school.
But she could be from Michigan, as in like maybe she moved here 2 years ago. you know.
Wait, and this is her first time in Norbury school and Norbury's class?
Yeah, maybe she's just like, you know, if somebody was like, oh, you're from Africa. And you were like, well, I'm from Texas. You know, like, I've been here for 4 years, but like, I'm also from Texas.
Yeah, well, either way, Miss Norbury's a racist.
just a little bit.
Just a little.
I'm going to go ahead and give her the benefit of the doubt and say that this is the first day of school and that she's just like, she just hasn't seen her yet. So she assumed. We all assume things based on the color of people's skin, right?
I never do that. I don't see color.
Every time I see other black
gross.
People,
I just want to. I'm sorry. For those of you who can't see my facial reactions, I'm clearly being sarcastic.
Yes,
incredibly sarcastic. I don't see color at all.
I mean, apparently not if you didn't get that joke.
Right.
You were just like, why would she look at her?
Honestly, that's though, interesting. Growing up in Texas, like, I didn't realize. I was a guy in Texas.
So. Oh, so you're a girl now.
No.
So
I'm saying I was a guy. And anything, like, I was a guy and I was more tanned and swarthy than what some might say is black, even though I do have, like...
Swarthy, that is an interesting word.
It's a very interesting word. The problem is my sister was a little bit swarthier, a little bit darker, and a woman, which means that, like, we will constantly compare our stories from back in the day.
Yeah, they're very different.
Very different.
Very different.
I was like, man, my whole life was super easy. And Grace was like, bitches be crazy.
She's like this grizzled old, like, got like a cigar in her hand. Bitches be crazy.
And we are barely anything other than like slightly off white. But
yeah.
It's enough that when you're a girl growing up in Texas.
But you guys are both like lighter than you were in Texas. Like, I don't know if y'all spent way more time outside, but like, which is weird because in LA, I don't know. Y'all lightened up.
So, all right. Caddy. Miss Norbury, she's been introduced, Michigan girl.
Michigan girl.
She sits down at her seat. We kind of briefly meet Damien and Janice.
Yes.
And then
we start hitting our...
The sad stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody sits with her.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, like, when I was first watching the movie and people were like she went and like sat by herself in the bathroom stall, I just wanted to cry for her. Like, my heart broke into a million pieces.
Yeah, it was sad. For
awful
sure.
For her. Beginning of the second day.
Beginning of the second day.
She goes to class.
Yep.
Damien immediately hops in. Is that your natural hair color? Yeah. It's gorgeous. Are we watching the movie?
Just like, no, we don't have to go through everything. It's funny, though, because he was one of the first outwardly gay characters I remember being aware of in a film.
True that.
And something I never realized until later looking back on it, he took the role and he really loved the role and hated it afterwards, because at the time it was a character who was gay and was funny, but it wasn't gay because, or he wasn't
funny because he was gay.
Exactly. That's what I meant to say. He wasn't funny because like, ha, 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 you're gay.
You're so gay.
You know, even though that's like one of the first lines she introduces him in, it's not actually how any of the characters really see him.
Yeah, true.
But that's like just one of the layers about these characters and how they interact. He's a fully realized person, as is Janice, as is Caddy, as is every single one of the mean girls.
It's Katie. You've been saying Caddy this whole
time. Have I been saying Caddy this whole time? Well, you know what?
Things happen. I mean, Janice calls her Caddy, so you guys are just close.
Exactly.
So she asked them, she's trying to get to health class, I believe.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, yeah, that's in the back building. That's in the back building. We'll take you there.
And what does she miss because of that?
She misses the first day of health class.
You will get chlamydia.
And die.
K-A-L.
Actually, that's later.
Either way, it's not how you spell chlamydia.
It's not. It's not spelled
forever ruined it for me.
That's the only way to spell chlamydia now. They introduced the plastics.
That's all
basically.
We need to get to. That's all we need.
Okay, so
that's
we
all
need
we need.
Them.
And let's talk about the plastics. Karen Smith, her outfit is completely normal.
It is. It absolutely
is. Looking back on it, he's like, what did he say?
Would you look at Karen Smith's gym shorts or gym clothes?
Either way, it's normal.
Yeah, it's a normal very normal. She literally just has her sleeves rolled up, and that's about it. And then, you know, we see Gretchen, and she gets hit with a football, drops her phone, all that
I remember
stuff.
Those moments from the trailer. That's, like, the only thing I remember from the trailer was the, it's why her head's so big, it's full of secrets.
Full of secrets, and that's definitely one that we like to quote. but, yeah, no, I actually don't remember any trailers at all. I was just not in the world at that point. I wasn't plugged in. And then we meet Regina George. I mean, how
Satan
do we
incarnate
even begin to explain her? Regina George is flawless. She has two Fendi purses and a silver Lexus. I hear her hair is insured for $8,000. I hear she does car commercials in Japan. Her favorite movie is Varsity Blues. One time she met John Stamos on a plane and he told her she was pretty. One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
Benji was not reading that off of anything.
She always looks fierce. She always wins Spring Fling Queen. Why do you care? Because blah, 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 blah. I'm going to stop.
Oh, because you don't know it after that?
I do, but I don't have remember it perfectly word for word.
Let's see. And then why do they stop her? And like what happens in between that?
So she's in the cafeteria. She's going to go sit with them. Their table is like and right then next to
Jason. It was Jason.
Jason. There Jason. It is. Jason, you were supposed to call me last night. So he was asking her the thing.
Is your muffin buttered?
And, you know, so she hops in and is like, do you want to have sex with him? And she very sweetly says, no, thank you. And Jason's face, he like gives this look like he's like, oh, man. Like, did you think that's the way to pick up a girl? Like, did he
is that is that what he did with Gretchen? Was he just like, is
apparently. And she was like, no, could you please butter my muffin? Apparently, that's how he picks up girls. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a good part. That was, yeah. I remember too, like half of these references, by the way, I want you to realize I was like, huh, what's going on? I knew nothing.
Really? It's funny because like the muffin butter thing, that's not a thing. So like, yeah. I remember when
is
I
your
was
cherry pop.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I remember it being all like, is your muffin butter? Like, obviously I realize you're trying to make a sexual pun, but that's not it, bud.
Is
like,
your sweater suede?
Oh, my sweater is always suede, baby.
Sometimes I sway one way.
And then I swayed the other way.
Ugh, gross. Yeah, you can pretty much make anything sound sexual. And hopefully it'll get you laid.
Yeah.
Because apparently that was what Jason.
If Regina isn't there to call you out, like, he is probably on it. Like,
Jason. Out of all the actresses in this film, I will vehemently defend Lacey Chabert.
She was on it. She is that character.
Like everyone else, like even Karen, who when I was a kid, I thought Karen was probably the best actress out of all of them just because, I mean, I was attracted to Lohan. Mm-hmm. But when it came, if you were to ask me who do you think the best actress is in this, I would have said Karen.
Yeah.
I still think she's really good. They're all really good.
Yeah, they're all amazing
but
actresses.
The best are not the ones that you notice right off the bat. And like everyone knew Gretchen was funny, but like upon rewatching it, I just was immediately impressed with how like she just is that person.
She's so that just like neurotic, like dependent.
There's not a single moment in that film I'm watching her and going, oh, there's the actress.
Yeah, like she's out. Like, no, she was in it 100%. She was always.
It's a testament to the writing, of course. Tina Fey's writing is phenomenal. Ooh. But it's also a perfect marriage of like this actress. Like she pulls it off like she's been freaking out about whatever the hell.
about she was waiting for
anything.
For Jason to call her.
So she
sits down. Her and she says, sit down. No, seriously.
So Caddy sits down.
Why don't I know you? Like, well, I'm new here. I'm homeschooled. And she says, oh, you're homeschooled? And then she says,
well, we don't. Literally, she's like, these do not have to be.
I know. I like as I'm saying this, I'm like, don't quote it. Don't quote
the entire
Okay,
film.
So basically she's like, I was homeschooled in Africa. And she says, yeah. And she's like, No, because there's like a line that specifically when she was all like explaining to her, no. When she was explaining to her what homeschooled was, because she was all like, wait, she was like homeschooled? And she was like, yeah, my parents taught me. She's like, no, I know what homeschooled is. I'm not retarded, which is something that you can definitely not say now.
I know. Like, nobody says homeschooled definitely anymore.
You know. That homeschooled word, we've been saying it a lot, but in real life,
yeah,
kids,
we cannot say that. Let's refrain from the H word.
But yeah, no. So, and then she talks to her. They like her. They invite her to stay with them. She compliments her bracelet. Falsely, we later find out.
I think it's also interesting. That's the moment where Janice is like still kind of like, come on over here.
And she's like, I don't know what to do. I can just like walk away from them. Like it's so rude. And then,
which is why I think it's so interesting is like. I feel like up until that moment, a lot of films had always portrayed like mean girls or mean guys or whatever as being complete assholes.
Yeah, as being just straight up mean and
it
awful.
It was always like that's how it was always presented in like Disney films. It was just I'm the puppy.
Don't talk to me. I'm too cool for you. And it's like it's not like that at all.
No.
You have to reign.
And this was one of the first movies where it's like you feel like Katie. Sorry, I keep calling her Caddy. Where you're just like, I mean, they seem nice.
Yeah, it'd be like one thing if they were like, your blouse is terrible. Sit down so we can like talk about how awful you are. She'd be like, no. And then she'd walk in with her friends. But they're like, oh my gosh, you're so pretty. I love your bracelet. You should sit with us. Like, what are you going to say to that? Like,
I don't know.
These three gorgeous girls are just like complimenting you and saying they want to be your friend. Like,
that was honestly, I think, what kind of threw me off about my, like, I don't want to like make myself seem like the weird homeschooler. I did interact a lot with people, but I was in like relatively they
were
like
people that were in your brain.
Yeah, they were what?
They were made up.
Shut up. I was interacting with a lot of people who went to my church, or when I was modeling. That's my model jobs was when I met the most people who were outside of
your own like type of
yeah,
world.
Which was great, but it still was like Texas, like so relatively most of the people were kind of like the same ish. And that was the one thing that Disney didn't prepare you for. They always make it seem like if you're going to have people who are going to try to peer pressure you or anything like that.
It's going to all be very like straightforward, like do this or I won't be your friend.
Exactly. It's not going to be something it's going to be super obvious and they're going to like come against you for that reason, which I thought was hilarious because like, you know, you finally like in real life, it's not like that at all.
Not at all.
People are really nice. In real life, people are not that mean.
Yeah.
And if there's someone's going to be peer pressuring you, it's not going to be like this evil demon on your shoulder. It's going to be someone really sweet, really soft, saying, hey,
this will
look
be
what
fun.
I can do.
This will be great. Number two. Reason number two.
Look what I can do.
That's a little... What does that have to do with... No, he's got a point.
He's got a point.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the first time and so it makes sense. Like, I, just like Katie, was kind of thrown off by it. Just like, oh, this is a movie about mean girls. They seem pretty cool.
They seem like very nice girls. I don't understand. Well, we later find out. So then, yeah, so they're talking to her, and that's when we get the line of, if you're from Africa, why are you white?
If you're from Africa, why are you white?
And then they're inviting her to stay with her. They're saying, hey, you should sit with us every day for the rest of the week. And then
on Wednesdays we wear pink.
And then we cut to the bathroom where Damon and
Janice. Oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love your work. To this day is the loudest I've heard my dad laugh.
In life. That's
maybe not in life, but that was the loudest he ever laughed at a film like that.
That's really funny.
Oh my God, Danny. I was just like, uh-huh. I only laughed at that because my dad laughed at it. And I so desperately wanted to be like my dad.
Oh, that's so cute. But yeah, so they're in the bathroom and that's when they hatch the scheme to just, well, not to destroy her life, but that's when they're coming up with the scheme to like just hang out with them and we'll laugh about all the stupid stuff they talk about. And she's like,
do you have anything pink?
No. Yes. I was like, I wasn't sure which one I was
going to be. You're going to be the one who of course says, no. I'm clearly Janice.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything pink?
No. Yes.
That was great. I did love that lines. That lines.
That lines.
Because it's one lines. But.
Did you make any friends?
Yeah.
Was anybody nice?
No.
No. Or whatever. How
did you have a good day? Yeah. So were people nice?
No.
Did you make any friends?
Yeah.
And then goes in. That is high school. That is straight up high school.
I didn't know. So
yeah, absolutely.
I felt like I was living vicariously through this film. It was, this movie was one of the first times I was living like the high school experience through another film.
Yeah.
Because no other film I felt like even remotely touched some, which is odd. As out there as this film was, like in terms of like the whole Africa, like oh, we're like the wild wilderness or whatever. Yeah. It still felt a lot more realistic than any other high school film I had ever watched up until that moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I'm watching this going like, is this the real life?
Is this just fantasy?
Exactly. And it was great. That was my experience with Mean Girls. So continue.
It was absolutely, it was very good. And it was true to high school for
so
sure.
So the next day, Wednesday.
So on Wednesday, she's got her little pink shirt and she's talking.
Little pink
she's
shirt.
Her little big pink shirt. And she's sitting with them. They're explaining the rules and she's learning that there's kind of like a girl world where things are different than what they seem.
I don't think I had any frame of context for what that was like. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who was mean to me was mean. Outright, there was no such thing as passive aggressive.
Really?
Like I didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah,
I wasn't my sister.
Like, I feel like family is usually out front, like with their meanness or their anger and stuff like that.
Or if guys don't like you, they're gonna be dicks to you. Which I had a bully of sorts as a kid. I quickly learned that as long as I did what he hated, then he would leave me alone. Or like, because he would always constantly be like. Hey, bro, you so gay, which that was the way to insult people back in the day.
It really was.
That's and I'd funny. Be like, only for you. And he would like
get uncomfortable and run away because he probably was gay. Because if TV and movies has taught us anything, it's that if somebody makes fun of somebody for being gay, it's because they're gay.
And you shouldn't get in a relationship with them, though, after they discover that. Side note, that pisses me off in films where it's like, this guy made fun of me for being gay. Now we're making out. This is going to be a good relationship. Like, that's... That is super toxic.
A strong start for a relationship.
That's a very, I don't know. That's not how it works in real life. No. You should not do that.
Do not date your tormentors. No, please no do Stockholm not. Syndrome
if there's,
here.
If there's anything you learn from this podcast,
do not date your tormentors.
Do not do it. All right. So there, she's learning about Girl World. She's learning about Pat. And like I said, I'm feeling a lot like her in the moment because, like, you know, I have no clue what any of this is. I don't know what it's like to kind of to have somebody lie or say something to your face and mean another thing behind their back. That was not something I was used to at all.
True, 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 true. And that's how high school can be, especially with girls. Girls are like a whole thing.
Another ball game. What comes after all right, that?
So where are we? She goes to class. She meets Aaron. She.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because she meets Aaron and then she brings it up. And then Gretchen. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Ex-boyfriends are just off limits to friends. That's just like the rules of feminism. more quotable moments. But yeah, so they're doing that. They go to the mall. They're walking around the mall talking
that's
about.
Like, as
she
you
gets
mentioned.
Invited to join Mathletes before that because that's when she's like, I'm thinking about joining Mathletes. And they're all like, no, God, no, you can't join Mathletes. It's social suicide.
What does she say? You're so glad you have us.
Damn, you're so lucky you have us here to guide you.
I love that line.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's so good. Except, and then the whole Planned Parenthood phone call.
Oh my gosh, that was so rough. But I mean, like, way to think on your feet, girl. Like she she was like, oh yeah, you're gonna hang out with my best friend's like boy toy, because they weren't really boyfriends.
Which, by the way, like you said, way to think on your feet. Like, it absolutely shows how like Regina George is not just a bitch. Like,
oh yeah,
she's smart.
She's very smart.
And they don't just tell you that. I think that's something that a lot of films nowadays,
mm-hmm.
you know, or any film that's not doing the best when it comes to how they write it or how they direct it,
yeah,
and they're telling you rather than showing, which is a phrase like. Regina absolutely shows you that yeah. she's clever, that she's smart, that she's at the top
for a reason.
Yeah, for a reason.
For a reason.
You know?
Because she's bringing everybody else down piece by piece, one by one.
Somewhere along here, we meet her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Another point, though, when she does the call and everything uh-huh. and Gretchen tries to work in fetch again for the second time, and she literally gives the face of, like, should I say something about that? And then she's like, no, I'll let that one go.
What was the first time she says fetch?
When they're at the table and are at the not the kitchen table, at the cafeteria table,
right?
And she's like, she says that's so fetch for Africa. She says it for something. He said that's so fetch.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
What is fetch? And she immediately is like, what is that?
Stop. It's the rule of threes. Like, you mm-hmm. say it once, okay? You set it up. Bump, set. Spike,
yep.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Third time, she shuts it down hard.
And it happens at the perfect moment. Mm-hmm. There's so many, like, I think one of my favorite things upon rewatch is the subtle buildup towards Gretchen cracking.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because like, that is like expert filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Like the whole stab Caesar, like
that switch. Because Gretchen is like her number one follower. Like Gretchen mm-hmm. like needs to follow. She's that type of person that needs to follow somebody, but she will put all of her like focus and neuroses and idiosyncrasies into supporting that person. Yeah, yeah, all of everything.
Which makes you wonder, like, what would she do? Who would she be without someone like Regina George? Who did, like,
she couldn't, because in the end of the movie, she had to follow somebody else.
Yeah.
Remember? She, like, everybody else was at peace and she went and found a new queen bee.
That is so crazy.
Because that's her. Like, she needs to be ruled.
Which is, like, that's how well, you know, Tina Fey, like, knew her characters.
Mm-hmm.
They lived who they were at the very core bleeds over into every part of the film. So, mm-hmm. like, even at the end, like you said, Gretchen asked to have somebody in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really sad because you're just like, who is this person?
Like, who are you? And she doesn't even know who she is.
No, she does not. She's always following Jason. She's always following Regina around. Mm-hmm. And, of course, and what was it, the Katie, Cool Asians? What were they?
The Asians, yeah.
Yeah, cool but was it the Cool Asians?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'll, and she learned Japanese. Was it Japanese? I want to say Japanese. I don't know why.
I don't
remember. She learned Korean or Asian or Japanese.
I have to hear it.
A different language to be in that group. So she's
that's impressive.
Clearly smart, clearly very dedicated and focused. She just needs somebody to show her where to put it.
That's I'll show you where to put it.
Oh. So.
So let's go on.
So then they go home. They meet.
And then they meet the mom.
They meet the mom and little sister, Kylie, who I have a little conspiracy theory. I think that Kylie Jenner was named after Kylie.
That's no.
Do you? I don't.
How did you? How do know that that girl's name is Kylie?
Because she says hi, Kylie. She goes hey. Wow. But also, if that movie came out in 2004, Kylie Jenner was definitely born before then. I think because she's older than my little brother. So.
I mean, I don't know.
Myth busted. Style, poetically.
Your own myth busted. Right.
I know. I've said it out loud before, but I always say it jokingly. And now that I'm saying it like here where we actually have to back up what we're saying.
Exactly.
I'm like, actually, let me just go ahead and knock that out right now.
Let's just clearly that is not what really happened. Mm. We meet
Amy Poehler, her mom.
Who is, first off, only like a few years older.
Yeah, only like what, 3 or 4 years older.
And Regina George, Rachel McAdams at the time. But the more important thing that happens in the scene is the burn book.
So we find our burn book, which it's like an old book that they haven't looked at in forever, by the way. Like, I never really thought about
that. Things, how many of those things are actually still accurate?
Yeah, like that's
still true.
Well, it's still half true. But that's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, well, they said they haven't looked at it in forever, so they probably made it like last year or something like that or more. Like, how is every girl in the school in it when like every year you get so many new people? So they had
some of them are all the way from Michigan.
Some of them all the way. So they, I guess they worked on it and updated it when they found it again. They're like, let's get everyone in here.
That's probably that is what happened. Yeah, that's good.
Put that in there. I love our little clips, our reference clips.
Yeah. No, what I love about that, though, was like I think Mean Girls, it teeters on the line of being very realistic, but then it takes all of that, all the stuff that you know and like the stuff that you've seen in other films, and it kind of gives it a name. So like the burn book, like everyone, you've seen teen movies where people talk bad about each other. But to identify it in an object, like almost a reverential like a object.
Physical representation.
And it's something that I think has since impacted the way I write films, which is just like taking something that's just borderline on being real and kind of give it a little bit of a twist that's a little different, a little unique. It's something no other film will think about. So like the burn book physically being like this necromancer of sorts where it's just like you open it up and it's just a world when a Pandora's box of just hideousness that destroys girl world. That's such a kind of like it's a clever idea. It's not as clever in the moment as it is just upon retrospect where you're like, wow, that was like, a really interesting device to use, to come up with.
Absolutely.
Which I've never read Queen Bees and Wannabes, so I cannot be 100% certain.
It says everything you just said word for word.
It's just like, Tina Fey is not that clever. She didn't come up with half of this stuff.
She literally just copy and pasted. She's the worst.
That should have been on our research to read that book.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Not even going to pretend.
I'm not doing that.
The next big thing from when they go to, oh, she's being friends with him and they're just laughing about what she says.
Right.
And then they move on to, I got to get her back because of the Halloween party.
Right.
Where she goes, and which, by the way, another thing that I recently just realized watching it again is that Aaron invites her to the party the night before the party, and her friends are all already going. She didn't tell them about the party. So, like, were they just not going to bring her, like, their new best friend that they've been hanging out with for weeks?
Maybe.
Like, were they – and it was already after she found out about her crush on Aaron. So I'm thinking she's like, oh, yeah, back off my guy. I'm going to go steal him back at my party that you know nothing about. But I'm going to pretend that I'm talking to him for you. Like, that's shady. She's
That's super shady.
Shady diva. But yeah, so then she gets there and they're probably like, oh, you heard about the party? You're coming? Fantastic. And nobody told her. She has three of the most popular girls in school as her friends, the most popular, the most beautiful girls at school. And none of them tell her, dress sexy. Like, doesn't cross anybody's lips. No costume discussion, which, by the way, is impossible for three women on Halloween to not discuss their costumes and not have
them. Speaking from experience.
Speaking from experience, okay? I plan costumes like an MF-er, and let me tell you, it takes some practice.
Yeah, it does.
It takes some
time. You go all out on your costumes.
Ergo, she shows up looking like a monster, and then Regina inevitably steals Aaron back, you know, from Katie, and she freaks out, goes back to
fall back. I love that gag. It's,
while they're watching the scary movie, she pops in right at the last second, scares the crap out of Janice and Damien, and then they plan to destroy
the
life.
Army of skanks.
Yes, the hot bod army of skanks.
So they start their whole like guerrilla warfare against.
They do start usurping her, which they start with foot cream for face wash or foot cream instead of face cream.
We're gonna have to up until the fat bars. like their plan is
Very like elementary school, like not even
this is why school. Regina George is in charge.
This is why she's in charge, because this is what she's going against: people who try to destroy your skin by giving you foot cream instead of face cream.
And you know what's funny, half of the things that like half of the times like that she bounces back mm-hmm. is not inherently because Regina George is a bitch mm-hmm. it's because Regina George just is confident in who she is.
Exactly.
In some aspects, like clearly she's intimidated by Katie.
But wow. when she cuts the holes in her shirt and she just like, she's like, all right, whatever.
Zero Fs.
Walks around the school and everybody's doing it the next day. Amazing.
I love that. Because yeah. like it doesn't even matter. Like that little add-on, the little epilogue of like watching everyone else suddenly do what she's doing.
Yeah.
Has no importance or it has no bearing on Regina George. She literally probably doesn't even think twice about it.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So she's not doing it like, oh, I hope they copy me.
Exactly, because she didn't do it the next day. She just literally did that for that day, and then the next day she's wearing a normal shirt and everybody else has got holes in their shirt.
I love it.
And it's just a thing. But yeah, so those are their first attempts. They're like, they meet with the Kenny Kane Grahams or whatever. They're like doing the votes or something in line, and they're like, oh yeah, we gotta crack the lock, we gotta crack Gretchen, because that's how we're gonna get all the secrets, that's how we're gonna know how to really mess with Regina. So then they do the candy canes to send to everybody to make her think that Regina's mad at them. That's when we get the four for you, Glen Coco. You go, Glen Coco.
Which and none for Gretchen Wieners.
Is so funny, because I did not think those were funny lines. Like, I just was like, cool, whatever. Everybody thought that was hilarious. Like,
I did.
Probably some of the, like, the two top quoted lines of the movie.
You mean, like, at the time?
Yeah.
So are you saying at the time you didn't find it funny and now you do, or?
I find it funnier, but I still don't. It's still low, low, low on the list of things I find funny.
You go, Glen Coco. I think it's because it's immediately followed with, and none for Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, cool. And moving on.
And her expression, she's like, oh, what?
Poor Gretchen.
Oh,
so then, you know, she gets set off. She thinks she's mad at her.
We've skipped a few moments here, but that's fine.
We're just hitting the main points. So we're at the Christmas pageant.
Oh, God.
We get to see.
Someone needs to release that footage that Mrs. George was filming. I need to see the I need to see that camera shimmying to the side
and not getting any of the performance.
No, none of the performance.
I wish that they had had that actually recording at the time.
Wouldn't that be great?
But yeah, so we see Damien get a shoe thrown at him. He throws it back
right.
while performing Beautiful. Kevin Apoor's rap, fantastic, super funny. And then we hit their dance where Regina makes Gretchen and Katie switch.
Which makes no sense.
Which makes no sense to switch at the last minute, because if she wants the tallest to be in the middle, or the tallest to be on the end, whatever it was, tallest to be in the middle is what she wanted. If she wants that, then how long were they rehearsing? How long did she have to realize, like, hey, we should probably switch this? And then on top of that, Gretchen being like, the dance will be backwards. Girl, how many years have you been doing this dance? Like, you can take a couple lefts instead of a couple rights.
And,
like,
and it's funny, too, because like when you think about – I always say it's funny. What's interesting to think about is everyone talks about it like they've been doing this dance forever.
Mm-hmm.
You being someone who goes to school, how many years could they have possibly been doing
it? I was about to say, if they met in middle school and it's junior year, it's been like – four-ish years.
Oh, okay, that's enough.
So it's like five times, but I guess that's pretty good.
No, that's a lot.
I was thinking,
like, if it's 2 years, like, that's not enough to
say because I was like, if it's junior year and they started freshman year, then it's like, yeah, it would only been 2 years. Like, this would be the third year they're doing it, where it's like, it's just starting to be a tradition on this one. But it was from middle school, supposedly, when Janice was a plastic. I want that movie. I want the prequel to Mean Girls, watching Janice like be a part of it and then realize she's disillusioned with it, leave, cut all her hair off, and come back and be on crack.
Oh my God, that actually kind of sounds.
It'll
like
be called Mean Girls 2, because we're not acknowledging the actual second.
No, it'd be called Mean Girls Back to School. Back to School.
It'll be called Back and on Crack.
Okay, maybe that's better. No, that's the tagline. It's Mean Girls Back to School, and then the tagline is back on crack.
On crack.
Wow, we should write movies.
We absolutely should be.
Tina Fey, step aside.
Come on. Well, I was going to say, Tina Fey, give us a call. We'll work with you. We'll figure it out.
Step aside. Stab Caesar, transition, probably one of my favorites of the movie. I love
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
I love the whole monologue. Mm-hmm. And then the transition to, so like, the transition is just a simple like crossfade from the dance to the Stab Caesar monologue. But then from Stab Caesar to the bathroom, she's actually standing in front of a green screen. And then they
transition
it.
Interesting.
Which is like, there's movies with flying saucers coming out, you know, buildings exploding, bullet time, and I'm watching Mean Girls going, how did they do that?
Wait, were you really trying to figure it out?
I legit was.
That's so funny.
And I found out at age 13, I was like, oh, you idiot.
I literally just thought that they filmed two scenes and like faded them into each other.
No, watch that. It's a perfect transition. She doesn't change at all.
Oh, so, interesting. You
know, the best CGI is the one you don't even notice.
Yeah, true that, true that.
So I have a question. So the voting for the Spring Fling, what is it? Homecoming? Yeah. What is it?
Spring Fling.
All right, so the voting for Spring Fling. Did Damien put her name in?
He did. He absolutely did.
Okay, because I never understood that expression he does when he goes.
I actually didn't the first lot of times I
watched
it.
I couldn't tell if he was making fun of her.
Yeah.
Like for caring?
Yeah.
Or if he was saying to Janice,
that I'm so good, I did that. And I'm not even going to tell her.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's what the face was.
Okay.
But it took me a while to decide on that. So it could definitely still be that he didn't.
No, I think the obvious, if it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck.
Then it's a horse.
That's not how the
Then it's a rabbit.
That's not how the saying goes.
It's like a duck and it quacks like a duck. It's a rabbit.
Then when she turns the three-way call back onto Regina.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
That's actually a moment I didn't think about it until just now. Actually, literally just now while sitting here in the chair. Mm-hmm. That's a moment where Caddy starts showing that she's just as smart.
Oh yeah.
And I said Caddy again.
That's fine.
So Katie shows that she's equally as clever as Regina by taking what was thrown against her
and using it against her.
And I love that scene because moments I quote the most, boo, you whore.
Boo, you whore. That is such a great one.
And I don't just quote that ironically. I legitimately use that now. Like I legitimately use it in like a haha, I'm making fun of you. I'm joking about a film, but it's a great way to break the tension.
Also annoyed by something that you just did or said.
Exactly. And I think that's why certain lines have a longer lasting impression is because you can use them more than just being like, I'm quoting this movie.
Yeah, you can literally be like, I'm quoting this movie, but also you're annoying.
But you know, but also we need to get her the hell out of here. I'll give you a dollar for those who
can catch that quote.
Catch that quote.
That's can we play? We're just constantly going to be playing a game of catch that quote.
Honestly, we should, because I quote vines like nobody's business.
We're going to be like, catch that quote, and people list how many they caught.
Road work ahead. Yeah, I sure hope it does.
So,
oh man, I am super influenced by everything but important stuff. I remember my mom used to get so mad. She'd be like, you can memorize an entire film, but you can't memorize one scripture of the Lord's word.
Why is your mom an angry, like, country? I don't even know. Like, that's
absolutely how my mom does not sound.
Yeah, I was like, no, she doesn't.
What did we miss?
We missed Coach Carr. when they were trying to catch
her. He looks like he's going up to the projection room above the auditorium
with her like ridiculously oversized purse that's just for stealing.
I love
absolutely nothing.
Did Aaron Samuels not realize? Oh, that's well, he probably doesn't know who Damien is, but like, did he just kind of go like, oh, okay, well, we just saw that coach making out with someone, so I guess I'm not gonna.
Yeah, and aren't you also like one of Katie's friends? Like, why are you stealing her purse?
Does not matter.
What's going on?
Poking holes into films is not what we should do.
Okay,
we don't want to ruin the experience.
But
if we're going to poke holes, we need to poke holes. And like I previously mentioned, why does nobody give a shit about the old ass, like, gym coach making out with an underage girl? How old was she? She couldn't have possibly.
17.
Yeah, because they're
she's in their grade. So they're 16 to 17 because they're juniors.
So she is underage. Where is it? Is it in Ohio? I can't remember where the film takes place. Wisconsin?
Michigan.
Michigan, right?
What?
Well, it can't take place in a... Well,
she says she's from Michigan. I don't know if they're in Michigan.
No, they're not. So it doesn't... I'm assuming there's no law that allows an old-ass man to be making out with a 17-year-old.
Yeah, but I guess, actually, 17 is legal in Texas.
Well, that's gross.
Which I heard. I don't know if they changed that, but when I was in high school, apparently that was the case.
So coaches could make out with girls in your high school?
Still very illegal.
Still very
illegal.
Good. Good. But for some reason, like, I remember watching that part and it did not hit me as much as it hit me now, where I'm like, wait a minute.
But that also explains why nobody made a big deal out of it. Because as a kid, you're just kind of like, Okay, like that's your choice, whatever, bye. That's
absolutely true. But I mean, it doesn't help that when you're casting people who look like old ass adults.
Yeah, it also,
if that was a legit 17-year-old looking girl,
you'd be like, what?
You would immediately notice it's uncomfortable, which is, you know, side note, how they get you with film, they make things look normal that shouldn't be normal because they have old ass people doing it.
They're like, "Oh yeah, you guys are drinking and smoking, you know, your freshman year, even though you look."
And you look at that and you're like, "Oh, I should be drinking and smoking." Yeah. It's like, but like, bitch, no. You are barely high to you're barely high enough to ride the Goliath at 6
right? Like you're like 14, 15. These people are like 26 pretending to be 15.
Yeah, like, and we're watching it going like, why am I not cool like them? Because, you know, they haven't lived 30 freaking years. Like,
like calm down.
Honestly.
But yeah, so.
Talk about stuff that really grinds my gears.
Grinds my gears.
Old people playing teenagers.
Old teenagers. I'm still going to play teenagers because I'm going to look like a
teenager. Well, you look like a teenager right now, but there is something clearly like half the people in Glee did not look.
But, you know, you go with it. That's art. Yeah. You roll with the punches.
Do we want to? Where do we want to skip to?
They overthrow her. She can't sit with us. She doesn't fit her dress. She gets fat. She comes to school the next day. She's wearing track pants. It's Monday. She's not supposed to be. They kick her out. Then they all follow Katie, and she's like, "Hey, am I the new Queen Bee?" And she throws her party. And then that's when she throws up on Aaron. Aaron doesn't want to talk to her. He finds.
I do like that reveal of him being like, "No, like don't act stupid."
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a really interesting message.
Yeah.
Like,
it was nice of him to be like. To be like, "No, you didn't have to act stupid to talk to me. Like, you could have just talked to me."
Which that's not just Aaron Samuels saying that. That's Tina Fey saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
To anybody watching, it's like, do not dumb yourself down to get a guy.
Exactly.
That if there's anything that's culturally important about that film, it's that message.
Mm-hmm. And she literally says that to Katie in the movie too. It's when they're talking in the thing. when she's going over her test, when she's telling her she's failing, and she's like, "You need your parents to sign this," and she's like, "Yeah, you need to do better. You know, this. You don't have to." All the work is right, but just the answer is wrong. It's like, yeah,
I'm a pusher, Katie. I pushed my husband into law school. That was a bust, and now I'm pushing you because I know you can do better.
I know you're smarter than this.
Whatever.
And let me tell you, that is the most teacher thing I've ever heard any teacher in any media say. Because I've had teachers tell me stuff like that, and I'm just like, it makes you so mad when they say that. You're like, how dare you believe in me so much? Like, just leave me alone. I don't care. No. So funny. But yeah, so
she's pushed. Now Katie has pushed Regina out of the
She took
group.
Over. She threw the party. She
pieces
threw up
out
on
of there.
Aaron, and he got mad because, you know, she threw up on her, and she's a clone of Regina at this point. Not even the throw up. That was just the icing on the cake. Then Regina gets pissed because she threw the party without her, and she was leaving the party, storming out, and she found out that the Caltine bars were making her fat. Mm-hmm. And that's when she freaks out and screams, running home.
My absolute favorite part of the entire film.
Crazy. This is my favorite part of the film. Reveal where she's like,
what does she say?
She says, "Do not trust this bitch, this skank.
Ugly
She's
slut.
A fugly slut." Which I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if fugly existed before.
That was one of my notes. I had a question mark. I was like, was fugly a word?
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure if it was, it wasn't popular until in that movie. But yeah, so then she cuts the picture. She's holding obviously Katie's face, and we're like, oh, she's about to put Katie in the book.
You
man,
think you know where this is going.
She messed up. And then she picks up the book, and it's her face. I like that we're saying this like people don't know what's about to happen.
What happens,
oh,
Benjamin?
My God. So
I guess, you know what we forgot to do?
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen this movie that everybody's seen.
Get the hell out of here.
But yeah, and then it's like her face, and like obviously like we're tripping out just like.
Right.
What is happening?
I love that. And that's, once again, another example of how clever Regina George
is. Exactly. That she immediately was just like, oh, well, I'm about to turn this book in and I'm putting myself in it to.
Hells yeah.
Yeah. Like, I totally thought that was a moment where they were just like, where it was like, oh, look in the mirror. You are the fugly slut. And she's just like, wow. Maybe I should be better.
Wow. All I can say to that is wow.
Yeah. But so, yeah, she does that. She turns in the book. We get the whole piece of the movie where there where the whole thing
one thing leads to another
at the end of the movie. But it's funny because it's like the they don't really tackle this, but like the book itself, when it gets turned in, like they would probably get in trouble for that and probably maybe detention, I would think, and they don't really discuss being in trouble. But then like after the book goes public and it starts an entire riot in the school, those girls would be full on suspended, like if not expelled. Right. So I'm just like, what? They just put him through a sensitivity course and be like, all right, get back to school, you little scamp. Like, no way. Like, no.
I will keep you here all day.
We can't keep him past four.
I will keep you here till four.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so they do that whole thing.
There's a little moment of vulnerability that I like when he turns to Miss Norbury. What is it? Principal Duval. And it's just like, you're a kind, strong, caring, smart, whatever woman. Yeah. And she goes, I am. Love that.
Yeah.
I love that because he's clearly like kind of hitting on her, but he obviously believes it.
Yeah. And is also just trying to pass that baton so hard after that comment. It's just,
once again, there's so many different characters that they have, like, they're not just there for lines.
Yeah, they're fully fleshed out
characters. Miss Norbury is someone who's struggling with like self-confidence herself. Like she herself does not think highly of who she is.
Mm-hmm. And
Principal Duval does not know how to deal with a wide-set vagina
and a heavy flow.
He doesn't know these things, you know? My gosh. There's just layers. There's layers.
So moving forward,
who here has been personally victimized
by Regina George? And everyone raises their hand. And I love that Mr. Duval raises his carpal tunnel hand because it just gives me the impression that Regina had something to do with it. Like, I don't know how that is possibly even possible, but Regina could figure it out. Like, she got him, like, in the hospital for a few days so that they could have, like, an extra day off to school or something, so you go to the mall. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past her.
But this is okay. So we cannot skip over this part. It's one of the most crucial parts of this entire film. It's the moment that Miss Norbury actually stands up and talks to the women face to face and tells them what they're doing is detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, and one of the things I love about this film, every character, as I've previously mentioned, is fully realized, but also is a good person.
Yeah,
there are parts like, one of the reasons that Aaron Samuel says he likes Regina is because she is who she is.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. She doesn't pretend to be anybody else. And that's something that even Katie doesn't fully understand. Mm-hmm. Definitely Gretchen doesn't understand.
Yeah,
she does not get it. And Regina, she is herself, you know, even if she's a little. And then as a real person, she is like a little scared of Katie, but she's also confident who she is. And that's like Miss Norbury is basically saying, like, you girls cannot be each other's worst enemies because there's good and bad in both. Like,
yeah, exactly.
She might not be saying that exactly, but
I mean, it's kind of what she's saying is don't be your own worst enemy because that just makes it okay for everybody else to be.
Can't keep calling each other sluts and whores.
That just makes it okay for guys to call you sluts and whores.
It's like, if you're gonna do it, you better be doing it because, you know,
because you like, you my slut, you my whore.
But I thought that was such a fantastic like moral and message and such core of the great film,
like crux. And then she had everybody get up and start apologizing to each other.
And then the best moment in the entire film ever.
She doesn't even go here.
Do you even go here?
I felt so bad for that girl.
You felt bad for Discount.
Discount Drew Barrymore? Yes. I did. She was like crying and like exposing her soul.
Where did she even come from?
Go home.
Like, can we just,
how did she become
can we do a sides where we have like whole life stories for certain characters?
So this girl is very sad and lonely, and she walks from school to school looking for friends. And when she found all the girls meeting,
I don't want to think about that.
I would think a girl who would meet a random thing and just spill her heart like that is probably very lonely.
That is absolutely probably the truth. Either way,
we'll write a happier story.
I think that moment immediately was like seared in my brain as the best moment. I remember that very I don't remember much about this film. I just remember the impact that it had.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time watching Napoleon Dynamite. I do not remember what the first time I watched Mean Girls. I just remember how what it left on other people. But I do remember, like, because a lot of this film is actually only funny when you're hearing other people talk about it and when you've been hearing people talk about it for so long. Like, yes, it's very clever in itself, but like there are very few moments, you like when you rewatch it, you're like, wow, I wonder how much of this is like is good or how much of it I've just
has been just so nostalgic and so.
Well, I mean, like you said, like for me, I found Glen Coco to be a hilarious moment, yeah. But for you, clearly did nothing.
I didn't think it was that funny, and it didn't. But it didn't still really grow on me that much either. So.
No, but it obviously you are not. It shows that the film is not just like, it's not like absolutely laugh out loud.
Yeah.
But it is a shared kind of consensus that everyone's just like, I like this.
Where you find, you find your commonalities and your differences in places that you liked and you didn't like and you identified with and you didn't.
But for me, she doesn't even go here. Hands down, my favorite moment.
She doesn't even go here.
It's the funniest moment of the entire film. Because what's even funnier is not what he says, but what follows with him going.
The fact that he's not supposed to be there either. Got the shades and the hoodie and just tries to duck down into the audience.
Nobody calls him out.
And they're all just like, oh yeah, she doesn't go here. Like a big, like a huge man didn't just yell that out and then try to disappear in the crowd when he clearly towers over everyone.
And he's wearing bright purple.
Like, come
there's
on.
There's no way this boy's blending in.
Oh, that's so funny.
No, but it's absolutely.
Just like he's trying to call people out when he shouldn't be there either. She doesn't even go here.
Oh, I love that.
Fantastic. So,
love that. I would probably argue that's it. I would argue that's the most iconic moment of the film.
Yeah?
But that's me. What do you think is the most iconic moment of this entire film? Because these are things – I feel like – okay, so like I mentioned, it's lines that you can say both ironically as well as sincerely. Things that you can actually use in your everyday vocabulary while also kind of being like, hey – I speak the same language as you.
Yeah.
You know? And like, get in, loser. We're going shopping. Boo, you whore. They fit this perfect like balance of being like, ha ha ha. But like, for real, get
but
in,
like,
loser.
Seriously, like, we're going shopping somewhere.
You know?
Yeah.
So she doesn't even go here, though, is one of the few. It's like, you don't always say that.
Yeah, you don't. But when it hits well. And it's a fun one to say. It is fun. But I would say, get in, loser. We're going shopping.
You would say that's the most iconic moment?
Most iconic, yeah. Okay.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. I love that there's a picture, it's a meme, and it's a picture of like Hitler and a bunch of people in like a truck, and it's labeled, get in, loser, we're invading Poland. I'm dead.
I mean, honestly, when I was doing research on this, I didn't realize how big Mean Girls was on Tumblr, where they just take quotes from that and superimpose it over images of like Hillary Clinton or the White House. Like, everybody references Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Everyone. Even the White House.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. Yeah, the dog. Yeah,
the White House Twitter, I think, posted a picture of the dog on the lawn.
10 years later.
Yeah, and it said, stop trying to make fetch happen. And I was like, yeah, we did it. So they all go through their confession mode. You know, Janice confesses that they were ruining Regina's life. She gets mad and storms out. They argue. And she gets hit by a bus. Which I was like, what did I just watch?
And it's clever because they've been prepping you the entire film.
Yeah, exactly. They
but
keep kind
you,
of
it
doing...
definitely that hit me like a bus.
Because that was I was about to say that was kind of like the third thing because it was at first when she tries to walk to school, she almost gets hit by the bus.
Right.
And then when she sees Aaron Samuels for the first time, she says, it hit me like a big yellow school bus. And then
they knew what they were
somebody
doing.
Somebody got hit by the bus. Yeah, so then she.
What do they say? They call you a weird homeschool version.
They say you're a less hot. They say you're a homeschool jungle freak who is a less hot version of me. So you can take your fake apology and shove it right up your hairy little.
And that's how Regina George died. Just
I'm
kidding.
Totally kidding. But she did get hurt.
Bad. Right.
Yeah.
What is it? You are. What's the word? Grounded.
I was like, do you need
do
help?
Do you not care about the blah, blah, blah from the Undebeli tribe?
No. No, I love that line so much. This is the fertility vows of the Undebeli tribe. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Fantastic.
A moment that we missed, though, is this is the second time that she's looked in the face of somebody that she supposedly cared about and basically trashed, you know, their art or what they care about. I think that's a big moment. It's like... Katie essentially has to learn about caring about other people's things, you know, and realizing that inherently she's not, you know, you have to work at being a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like not every mean girl in this film is actually mean. You know, there's some goodness down there. You know, we're all capable of being mean. And you also like, you know, the good people are easily can be like Janice, considerably possibly a good girl. At least at the beginning, you think she could be a good girl.
Yeah.
Turns out to be a mean girl as well. Like, we have to work on both sides.
Yeah, because when you're being selfish and self-serving, you're being mean.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to work at
it's not rocket science script here in terms of like structure or format. Yeah. It's literally about like girl meets people, girl cares more about herself, girl learns to care less about herself, girl learns how to care more about other people.
Yeah.
End of movie.
Yeah.
And what's also interesting is the love story, it's like an afterthought.
It really is, because it's mainly about them. Like I feel like the love story is really just kind of, it ignites the story.
Right.
And it kind of gets it going, but like it's really not the main point or the main focus.
And the most important part about that story is it showcases how we can destroy ourselves over what men are like, men supposedly think about us.
Mm-hmm.
Literally exactly. The moment where it's just like, why would you make yourself stupid for Aaron?
For a relationship.
That's the point of that whole love story.
Yeah.
Is to build up this idea that like she was so obsessed and so focused on this that she didn't even realize what she was doing was just for another guy.
Yeah, she's like destroying herself for a guy, which it's like, that's junior year. That is not the time to be throwing away your grades, because right. That's when you're applying for college. Like, she's essentially throwing away her future for this guy.
Well, it's a good thing that they end up together.
It's a good thing, because she ain't going to go anywhere else, because no, she failed her high school.
So the film ends. The film is we're heading towards the end. Miss Norbury forces Katie
to join the mathletes and do the thing.
Excellent turnout. I quote that all the time. I quote that anytime it's applicable.
Yes, and it's... has to be no people though.
Oh, something I also missed. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
I'm a cool mom.
I quote that, especially growing up in Texas. Absolutely. With cool Christian moms. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Or just any. Like, they're like, I'm not a regular blank. I'm a cool blank. Like,
it's like, I've got short hair. It's blonde. And I cuss sometimes and I drink wine like Jesus did. I'm a cool Christian mom. Like, all right, lady.
Right, Regina.
Okay.
Please stop talking.
Sorry that you couldn't do those things when you were a kid, but please leave us alone.
Please let me go away.
Let me go. Let me be.
Let me pass in peace. So we're getting to the end. She makes her join the mathletes. Good turnout. Katie has her, that's when she has her aha moment in the end, mm-hmm. when she's like, you know, calling someone else fat won't make you skinny, calling him dumb won't make you smart, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of the whole point of the movie, just don't be a bitch. Somehow the contestant Kraft misses the limit question, which I'm going to hop into math really quickly. I studied limits in my senior year, and they're not the easiest thing. But when the limit doesn't exist, it's literally the same as if you multiply anything by zero, it's zero. If the limit is like, you know, cosine zero or whatever the thing is, if there's a zero in the equation, the limit doesn't exist.
Got it.
No matter what else is in there. So for her to miss that and be on a mathletes team, like, I'm sure they kicked her off when they got home. Like, they had, because that's basic. Wow. If they're like 24 times zero for the tiebreaker and somebody's like, it's one, you're like, get out of here. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you an idiot? Like, so, yeah, that's basically what that was.
And, it was part of the story. They needed to learn.
It was great. It was a great movie.
It was a great movie. No, I'm trying to think of, like, what would be the best way to sum up that moral. But, yeah, you said, don't be a bitch.
Like, don't be a mean girl.
Well, one of the things that they mention about the film is, I mean, it ends essentially with people just growing up. And something I liked about it was that, unlike other films that play up high school as being, like, the end-all be-all, like, we've got to go to prom, or it's the most important, I got to lose my virginity.
Yeah.
Like, everything, like, whatever happens here.
It's going to follow us for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. And this movie basically says, screw that.
Yeah. Because it's true. Like, high school, yeah, it's like an important time in your life. But once you're out of it, like a few years after, you're just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that happened. I was there.
And the fact that the film even ends with this kind of somber, not a somber note, but it's like, it's
the baby plastics.
Yeah, the baby plastics. Everyone's in, like, it actually shows you, it's like everyone moved on to their own different things, just like in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not like they became friends for the rest of their life or they banded up in a different way. Like, no, people moved on to
You have your moments, you have your people. Sometimes you keep people around, sometimes they go on to their own stuff, and it's not that you're not friends with them. It's not that anything is malicious in between you. It's just that you're
that one semester was only that one semester. Yeah. Nothing was ever the same. Mm-hmm. You know, the next year they're in completely different groups. They have different dynamics. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of the most real things about, like, their depiction of high school, which is just like, it comes and goes.
Yeah.
You have so many years to learn how to be a better person. Mm-hmm, and I think that's what this film was.
And just like you said, like, it's literally about just them growing up. Like, literally, that's what it is. In their senior year, they've gotten to the point where they're like, oh yeah, like let's be decent to each other, which is kind of what high school is, where you spend the first 3 years being dicks to each other, and then you're kind of like, hey, like we're all kind of in this together, like let's get out of here, like let's leave each other alone, yeah, and just graduate and everybody's cool. But like my classmates
were absolute dicks to me.
Yeah, they are. And it's like,
I was homeschooled.
So you're saying your sister and your mom and your dad were dicks to you?
Never.
I'm blinking SOS.
But like it's like, but the thing with like the baby plastics, it's like, it's true. Like it's every high school story resets because it's a new crop of kids and they have to learn the same lesson.
Oh, last moment before we finish it up. What the hell was with Jesus Katie multiplying that crown into the fishes and the loaves?
I was literally about to bring it back to that. What? I was like, yes, that bugs the hell out of me is the fact that she broke that crown up into a billion pieces.
Where like, did because that it's come
like,
from?
She gave each of the contestants like a quarter of the crown.
Like at first it makes sense. You're like, yeah, oh, okay, there's enough. And then she's like, and then here's some for you.
And then she like throws like three handfuls, throws it to the crowd that are all like fairly good sized chunks.
That's they're a
not,
giant
like,
ass.
They're not like crown crumbles. She didn't like mash it up. Like she just literally like broke.
She's got
off.
Like a little guacamole mixer up there. She's just like,
hold on. This is coming.
This is coming, guys.
I was like, come on, girl, where are you getting this? And then one thing again that I realized just recently watching it was that everybody ended up in a relationship in the very end. Like, we did, you know,
Katie and Aaron.
We had Regina and the dude that she was cheating with at first. That they won prom king and queen. They like were dancing and they kissed at the end. We had Mr. Duval and Miss Norberry.
Oh,
and then we had Janice and Kevin Apoor. And then Damien, where's his person?
Well, I mean, we can reference gay people. We just can't show them having
relationships. We can't even show him look at somebody and smile. Like
it kind of reminds me of that when it was like, there's going to be a gay character in Beauty and the Beast. And then it was like, what was it? LeFou?
Barely. Yeah.
LeFou dances with one guy. You're like, oh, cool. I'll take these crumbles.
What we were doing? Is that what that was?
It's just something I never had to think about because it's like, it's not my.
Yeah, and it's funny because like I never thought about it until I was just watching it now. And I was like, oh, I already ended up with somebody. And then I was like, wait, no, they didn't. Like, because they like, obviously, like Janice and Damien kissed. And they're like, oh, gross, no. And then Damien, like, walks off camera. And then Kevin, of course, never to be seen again, obviously, at the very last scene. But I'm like, hey, like, maybe you'll give him a little something.
No,
you know?
He gets nothing.
Yeah, whatever. And none for Damien.
And none for Damien. It doesn't have the same.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
So, wrapping it up. That was the movie.
What did it do right for you?
Everything.
I will say, I think that one of the reasons it's universal, other than just being a really funny film, is that I feel like everyone could connect with like the pain in it.
Yeah.
In the sense of everyone knows what it's like to have someone talk about them behind their back or to their face. Doesn't matter.
I don't.
That's just something that wasn't in Clueless. Like that idea that we're all in this together when it comes to how people hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, mean, that nice, exactly. Popular, unpopular.
Everybody has crap that they're dealing with. Nobody's being talked about and stuff like that.
What happened next? This is just little moments we like to kind of hit. Amy Poehler would later replace Jimmy Fallon that year on Weekend Update. Actually, only like less than 2 months after this movie was released.
Yeah.
And that would make her and Tina Fey the first only female hosts of Weekend Update in the show's history.
Yeah.
Which is that's really important. I can imagine that that helped like the zeitgeist surrounding this film. Tina, of course, would later move on to write, create, and star in NBC's 30 Rock, which would end up getting nominated for 145 different awards.
Oh, my gosh.
Winning.
That's ridiculous. Is that, like, normal?
That's
– Or is that, like, around normal? Like, is normal
– I don't know. I didn't compare others. But
yeah, because like, I was, like – because, like, 145 sounds like a lot, but maybe normal is, like, 200
I mean, it
or
is
like
over,
100.
I think, like, six seasons. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's crazy.
But it won 39 of those awards.
Man.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah.
So – what impact did it leave? I will tell you. A Washington Post article mentioned that Mean Girls became the language of the internet. I think it because it hit at such a pivotal
time,
pivotal moment of like social media ingrained it like it. I feel like it ingrained and rooted itself into our culture, into the very foundation of like millennial Generation Z like language.
All of us. That so, are always posting and
anything you want to mention, like a little fun, interesting fact?
Fun facts.
Yes.
Well, this movie inspired one of my favorite artists' newest, not the song, but the music video, obviously. Ariana Grande's Thank You Next.
That's your like
Well, we missed it.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be something that surprised me.
No, I don't. Oh, I didn't. I don't think I got one. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The original title of this film. Can you guess it? Don't read it. Don't you dare read it. It is. Do not. It's Homeschooled.
Whoa.
No, I don't think that would have been any as big at all.
Yeah, no, probably not, because people wouldn't have identified with
it. No, they wouldn't have known what that meant.
Not that it's, like, not an important piece of the movie. It's just not important enough to name it that.
Final thoughts. Mean Girls was an eye-opener. I think more importantly, though, it was, as we've said numerous times, Tina Fey was a brilliant writer. And I remember the way that they talked about her on the DVD. I remember how they mentioned that she always knew what the characters were thinking, what they were doing, how they could always go up to her and ask her. And that left an impact on me as a writer to realize, like, I need to step up my game. And it was huge because this was a woman who was being brought to the forefront. Like, up until this moment, I was only aware of people like Steven Spielberg. Wasn't, like, thinking consciously about a female behind the scenes, but like a powerhouse, not just an actress, someone who was doing stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It was the first time I remember being made aware of that. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big thing.
It's definitely a big thing to kind of bring that, like, different – view to the forefront.
Like, they've been busting their ass, and this is just one of many who should be getting
a lot more credit.
Yeah. And so I thank you, Mean Girls, for kind of opening up my eyes to, like, it does not need to be a male-dominated world. It can be...
Doesn't. It can be a mean girl world.
Oh, got that. So I guess that's, like...
That's
kind of wrapping it up.
That's wrapping it up. So
we're being told by our camera that it's time, to stop.
So I love this movie, and, like, at the end of the day, like...
Oh, God.
It's the end of the day.
And the day's over.
Because it's the end of the day.
And that's why we're going to end it.
All right.
All right, guys. So this has been the Pink Popcast. That's how you're going to follow us. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube eventually at Pink Popcast.
That's Pop with a P.
Pop with a P. Remember to leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps us get this podcast out there. But until then, I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
And on Wednesdays, we wear pink.